O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for loving us and blessing us as You do. We thank You that You have brought us to the place in our lives where we have come to know the Almighty God. You've brought us to a place and a time where we can embrace the reality and the fact that we are the children of the Almighty God. Father, we ask that You bless our hearts, bless our souls, dear God, through Your word, that we might, as we sang, more and more seek to live and do those things that are pleasing in Your sight. Lord, that we might grow in our understanding of You even more, and that our lives in this world would take on more meaning and more value. We're very grateful, dear God, for Your goodness each and every day. We ask Your blessing on this time and on each one here and those that are absent. Let me give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know if this will be a one-day message or maybe carry forward, but it's impossible. One thing you know, often comforting about speaking and teaching and preaching the gospel is that there is no way humanly possible for me to do it successfully. So, not that I fail, but we are not equipped, our minds are not equipped to handle all of that. And that's why we can preach the gospel again and again and again, and we hear different things. New little lights come on, you might say, and we get insights into our being. But the message today and the things that the thought the Lord's had on my heart all week is kind of like, okay, this is not a thought that I know of. We mention it casually, but I don't know if I've ever heard anybody really preach about it as a topic itself. And so there's scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, all manner of references to this, but what do we do with that information is extremely difficult. And one thing that kind of brings it up in a way is ongoing and upcoming conversations about artificial intelligence, but the fact that our bits and pieces of our lives, important numbers, important information, is constantly being gathered into, if you would, machines and stored. And we can now ask these machines to put these things into a story, put them into a paper. We can right now, if any Google searches that you do, the first thing that pops up is a response that is put together by artificial intelligence. And then you can go and search beyond that into other things. But it's gathering data about you and about me, and it's not going to stop unless you quit generating data. But the thing is, far, far beyond that, the other thought that brought it up was I was in a group discussion, probably at work in a meeting, and people were talking about Christmas. I really don't remember where or who said this, but the topic of Santa Claus came up, and the person was saying how that all their life, the thought of there being a Santa Claus that was constant, he knows when you are sleeping, he knows when you are awake, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. The fact that there's this sort of creature being or spirit being out there that was always watching them, whether being good or bad, always keeping score. They said it creeped them out. They did not like the thought of Santa Claus. And between that and the AI, what really sunk in, it really stuck in my heart and mind, is this fact that our God is omniscient. Jesus refers to him as the Alpha and Omega, knowing the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. There is nothing that God does not know, down to the smallest component of the physical universe and the smallest thought and idea that we think and that pass through our minds, the deeds that we do. The fact that the Almighty God is indeed Almighty, there is nothing that he does not know, past, present, or future. And he does and is watching us. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. You could say he knows if you've been bad or good. But the amount of presents you get don't really depend on that tally. But the fact remains that the God that we believe in, the Almighty God, who the creator of heaven and earth, Scripture makes it bountifully clear that he has known us from before the foundation of the world. He's known our personalities. He's known our lives. He's known everything about our lives. And he has predetermined what should become of our lives. He's predetermined what should become of our lives. If we believe in Christ as our Savior, we've been predestined, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, we've been predestinated to be the children of God through Jesus Christ the Lord, if we believe. He doesn't select who will believe and who does not believe. He does leave that to be a choice, but he knows what our choice will be. He has predetermined the content of our worlds, the limits. Read that he sets the limits of during creation. He set the limits of the waters where they would stop. He knows every shoreline, if you might say, in the world. There's nothing that God does not know about you. There's nothing. No thought, no deed, nothing that God does not know. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? When we looked at first our three scriptures that fall on the negative side, if you would, of that, starting with Jeremiah chapter 17, very familiar passage. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things, or above all. Our own hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God. Who can know it? Who can? Recent articles in the news, there's several. Just simply shocked at the wickedness that people do. This man, I didn't read the story again. I just didn't even want to go past the headline. But over the holidays, I think it was that. His wife told him to turn the, he was watching the 49ers football game, and she told him to turn it off for some reason. I said, I didn't read the story. Whatever about it made him mad, and he killed his entire family. That is desperately wicked. Desperate in the sense it's looking for something. Since rapidly seeking something out to achieve something in a wicked way. How do you comprehend something like that? But it happens. Those sorts of things happen. And they spring forth from the hearts and the thoughts. It's like the old adage, guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, the same thing here. It all springs from a desperately wicked heart. And it's deceitful. Deceitful. Another news story is that these young men, especially one young man, deceived this young girl. He tricked her into thinking that he liked her and had feelings for her, and gathered her trust and kind of groomed her for this moment and gained her trust, and the decided we were going to go for a walk out in the woods someplace, and then they murdered her. It was just kind of like a challenge. That is deceitful and desperately wicked. And the Lord knows those thoughts. Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins or the bowels of a person. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So we find that the Lord knows everything, absolutely everything. He knows the condition of our heart. He searches the heart. He probes, he explores, he searches the darkest and deepest corners of the human heart and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. As in the days of Noah, that the thoughts and intents of their heart were only to do evil continually. The Lord knew that, which is what brought about the judgment, which brought about the flood. But the Lord knew the hearts of people by their deeds. And again, the thoughts and intents of their heart, in Genesis 6, were to do evil continually. The Lord searches the hearts. He knows when they've been bad or good. He knows our every thought. He knows the thoughts we're going to think tomorrow. We'll get to that later. Well, then we turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Where we learn something very important, Jesus speaking here, I'll start with verse 33. Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, How can ye being evil, he's speaking to the spiritual leaders of the day, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man bringeth out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, this has always sent chills in a sense down my spine. I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What do we do with that? We've all spoken words that we're not proud of, or maybe we are proud of them. It would seem in this day and age people are proud of a lot of words that aren't worth much. But those very words, every idle word, especially when we're relaxed and we're idle company and we're just visiting, just talking and just whatever pops in our minds, we say it. Every idle word. In other words, it's something just very casual words, something that just, but it reveals something in our hearts and in our souls. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Again, this is prior to Jesus' death and resurrection. It's prior to being having the gospel message made known and the means to forgiveness of sin. But to those under the law, to those who proclaimed the law and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy spirit and thy neighbor as thyself. If, and as Jesus exposed, he said, these things with the law, without going into detail, the things of the law is even if you don't actually do the deed, thinking about it is the same thing. We are destroyed by our own thoughts in this sense. The things that pop up into our hearts, into our minds, reveal what's in our hearts. And it reveals that our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful. We learn a lot about ourselves when we stop to think about the fact that there is nothing about our lives and our persons that God does not know. And the more that we are aware of that, the more guilty we since become, or the more shameful, again, our lives might be before the Lord and before ourselves, before our own eyes. Oh, did I just say that? Did I really just think that? This is beyond our ability to control, because our hearts, because our minds, because our souls have been polluted by sin. Our thoughts are not pure. Our thoughts are not as nice as what we might be able to make other people think they are. We know the deceitfulness of our own hearts. We know the wickedness that we're capable of, and we are capable of all manner of wickedness. God knows this. He knows the thoughts we're going to think tomorrow and throughout our lives. There's nothing, nothing that God does not know. What do we do with that? What do we do with that? And to complete this portion, this sort of negative portion of it, let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. chapter 20. Verse 11. Let's start at verse 10, because there here we learn the beginnings of it all. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books, plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead in which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So our deliverance from a time like that is we need to make sure our names, we need to know that our names are written in the book of life. The difference here is these people, these souls, these individuals, their names, there was lots of things written in the books. And in my mind, I always connected that pretty much back to that passage in Matthew 12, where every idle word is known by God, and that people will be judged by those. And here we see where it is that that takes place. What was written in the books and recorded in the books were the actions, the words, the works, as verse 13 says, of those whose names were not written in the book of life. And they were held accountable for every word, every work. That's a terrifying thing. Because we can't stop what we think, can we? Sometimes we do a lot of dumb things, bad things, and don't think much of it. And there's just some absolutely horrible things taking place in the world today as our society, as I believe our culture, our society is decaying in many places very rapidly, in very vile ways, and it's extremely disturbing. Because where there is no belief in God, where this sort of information is not made known or not embraced or believed by individuals, there simply is no law. There is no order. As it says in Proverbs, I believe, where there is no law, the people perish. I was listening recently to the philosophical discussion. You probably heard of it before and heard people talk about it. Where people, moralists, you might say, who think, well, it's just atrocious some of the things that we might believe. It's so atrocious that we don't recognize these disparities and these physical conditions and these things, that we don't embrace those that live their lives on a ever-building, ever-growing foundation of deviant thoughts in all manner of ways. And they say, well, we don't, this is wrong. We can't do this. Yet they say they have no belief in God. If there is no God, the topic of the discussion was, why is murder wrong? Who sets the rules? Who sets the guidelines? Why is it okay for me to just go kill somebody that's making my life miserable? Well, we have civil laws. I mean, we've, as society, we've determined these things are wrong. Well, they happen a lot. They happen a long time. It hasn't stopped it. They happen a lot, and the punishment usually is not severe at all. People continue to live out their lives mixed up in the law and court cases and appeals and those sorts of things. Their life just changes. But why bother with it? If there is no God, there are no rules. Not really. You think every court case that's decided is just, is true? There's a man recently that was just let out of prison after serving 7 years for something he did not do. And others have served much longer terms than that. Decades. Was that just? Was that just? The Lord knows every detail of our thoughts and our deeds, and has always known them from before the foundation of the world. Those who say there is no God, those who say they have no accountability to God, to finish, just kind of wrap this portion here up, are going to be dreadfully, if you would, I'll call it surprised or shocked, when, if the Lord is really going to take the time here at the White Throne Judgment, and since time's not an issue, there's plenty of it, because there is no time, they were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Someone is writing a book and recording words and deeds and thoughts, every idle word or deed or thought. And they are being held accountable for that, because those deeds that are recorded are those things that are contrary to truth, contrary to the goodness of God. And each one reveals and condemns their hearts before God. It doesn't take a multitude of books. It takes but one. But I'm not going to leave this here, because it leaves all of us without hope. The important thing, as I said, is that our name is indeed written in the book of life. And that is what we will be judged by, and actually already have been and are being judged by. That's a whole nother thing. Let's turn back to Psalm 139. So as we start this new year, I think we're going to see a lot more of the same in politics, in the actions taken by individuals, the horrific crimes, the persecutions. I don't see that changing next year. I don't see it changing based on Scripture until the Lord comes again. Because as Jesus said, the last days will be as the days of Noah. People just be going about doing the things that they do until suddenly, well, there's the Lord. Never gave that a thought. Didn't see that one coming. Here's the return of Christ, spoken of in Scripture over thousands of years. And somebody will say, well, I didn't see that coming. I mean, that was really real. I should have taken that seriously. God knows everything. Absolutely everything. But Psalm 139, and I'll just read a portion of this, and then we'll pick back up on this again next week. But it starts out in verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me. So David starts out with this declaration, even as we read in Jeremiah, how the Lord has searched the hearts. David here has personal knowledge now and understanding. Lord, thou hast searched me. You have completed an absolute, full inspection of every dark corner and every light corner, every bit of my life. And you have known me. You know me. There is nothing you do not know about me. You know the weird things I've done. You know the bad things I've done. You know the kind things that I've done. But Lord, you have searched me and known me. You knowest my downsitting and my uprising. How much detail, there is no end to the detail that God knows about our lives. He knows when we're going to sit down. He knows when we're going to get up. He knows the content of the day that we woke up to today. You know, we look at the weather change, the drastic weather change here in the last day. He knew that was coming. Well, the weatherman, estimated or forecast that maybe to some extent. But the Lord absolutely knows our downsitting and our uprising. And thou understandest my thought afar off. That is a thing of distance. God's clear in heaven, I'm clear down here in earth, and he understands my thought from that great distance. What it means is thou understandest my thought way before I think it. Before it happens. Before I existed. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thy hand laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too, and I'm going to stop with this verse, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain unto it. There is not possible for us to comprehend the omniscience of God. God's all-knowing character, he knows everything. There is nothing about us, about you, about me, that God does not and has not always known. Nothing. Only God can do that. Only God can comprehend that. So what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do when we look at this and we say, you know, well, first, you know, not everybody believes it. I hope you believe it. David discovered that. Again, it's throughout Scripture, so many references. But what do we do with that? Do we feel guilty? Do we feel afraid? Are we scared of God? Are we scared of Santa Claus? What we are to do with that is to realize that we are not our own. We have no privacy from God. There's no. Jesus spoke of it in John 3:16. Again, these verses just keep popping up. That, you know, Jesus came as a light into the world. I think we spoke about it last week. And there are those that hid from the darkness because their works were evil and dark, and they did not want the light of truth to shine on them, that they might be made known. God already knows about them. Down here in verse 12, it says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee," because it isn't based what God can see with natural eyes. It's based what God knows, based on the fact that he is there. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere all the time, seeing and knowing all. So what we do with that, first of all, is to know that God loves us. And the other thing it does is it really, really, really expands our grasp, if you would, for the need of a Savior. I need to be saved from me. I don't need to be saved from God. I need to be saved from me. Because all those things that are contrary to the things of God spring from sin within me. And that came into my body, into my world, into my thought, into my mind before I existed. Sin is in the world. I inherited sin, if you would, a sinful nature. But to know that God has forgiven us in Christ, as we believe in Christ as our Savior, and our names are written in the book of life, it should place us, first of all, it should make us, again, there's lots of reactions we can have to this. One is that it can make us a little paranoid, but when we realize that God has already forgiven us in Christ, it can set our hearts at ease. It is, and that's why Paul says, "Shall we sin that grace might abound?" Well, since God knows all this, why can't I just go ahead and sin that God's goodness and grace toward me in Christ might abound? Well, he forgave me for all those things of the past. How about if I do some more of those things so he has some more things to forgive me for? That's not how God is glorified. Paul said, "God forbid." It does challenge us to our very core if we give it thought. As far as what do we do with this knowledge? It's too wonderful for me. It's too high. But the basic concept we can grasp. But I'll leave you with this for today. If the Lord tarries, we're starting another year of our lives in this world. Possibility that not all of us will be in this world at this year's end. We don't know how much our lives will change between now and the end of the year. Some of us might have drastic changes. Some of us just kind of more the same. But life and time will happen to us. And God knows. And he prepares us. And he is there for us. And he knows what the year is coming. And that's why the Spirit leads us and guides us, that we might be watching and be prepared and knowledgeable and aware of how much our every day, every moment, every minute depends on this knowledge of God and His love for us. That we needn't fear this Santa Claus who watches us at all times, that we might find comfort and find direction. Find direction for our lives in this world this year. Based on, if we could, on based on this. That the Spirit of God will lead us into those situations and into those thoughts that will glorify God, that will better us, that will open our hearts even more, that we might understand more and more about the goodness, the love, and the grace of God, and that we might live before Him in peace. I predict a year of peace for those who put their trust in God. And that's based on Scripture, not on headlines. I pray that the year to come, the Lord blesses you with that knowledge that He has searched you and known you. And He can be trusted with that information to do what's right with it. With that, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your faithfulness and goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, that this great, great love, it now appears larger than ever, knowing that You know and being reminded that You know absolutely everything about us, body, soul, and spirit. Father, may our hearts be chastened by Your word and Your love embraced by every fiber of our being. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
624, verse 2.
Number 624 in verse 3?
2.
624 in verse 2. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Not one sparrow falls to the ground, but the Lord knows. So much information about that. May God bless you in your understanding, and may the Spirit lead you in the year to come. Amen. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so. Amen.